AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Soybeans and bean meal ripped to the upside today to wrap up an impressive rally in the second half of the week. Buyers stormed back into wheat futures. Corn was generally stuck in the middle and played a follower's role. Volatility also flowed back into livestock futures that ended mostly lower on the week.
Live from the merciful end of a news-heavy week via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
The merciful end of the week, huh?
I've had it. Yeah.
Are you up to there with it?
I've switched over to reserve fuel tank here just to get us through the show, and then I'm done. I've had it.
I'm always uneasy when I have to do that. Yeah. You flip that little, that toggle switch.
Yep.
Sends you over to the second tank.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, how do you trust that?
Well, I keep my reserve tanks full at all times.
Oh.
That's my approach.
Well, all of a sudden, I feel a whole lot better about getting through this afternoon show then.
I'll give you till middle of seg two. That's as far as I can guarantee.
Is that right?
I'll get us there. You run through the finish in these moments. That's what you do. You run through the finish.
Exactly. Ignore the pain.
Dang
Ignore
right.
Ignore the pain.
It
Just
hurts.
Keep right on going.
Oh, it hurts. The burning.
Yes. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. It is Friday afternoon, and we are going to have a conversation with Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net coming up in just a bit. We can have this conversation quite often, but talk about a week with two different stories to tell. Pressure at the start of the week for some of the markets and a big comeback second half of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the rally in beans, for example, from Wednesday's low. Wow, that was a big move from that low that we put in on Wednesday. What the heck? Wheat. Coming back to just call it generally unchanged on the week, that was a big move after the price pressure that we saw at the start of the week. Mm-hmm. So, and then cattle, I want to talk to Kurt about this one too. We started this conversation yesterday with Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. Yesterday, we closed below the opening range in live cattle futures. Today, we closed below the opening range in live cattle futures, back-to-back days. Both days are higher, but we drained the momentum, the upside momentum, out of that cattle market as the day went on. I just kind of wonder if that's not a warning sign for us that we need to be paying attention to in this cattle trade. So lots of things that we want to talk about with Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
So everything good?
Everything's okay. I would just add to your tale of divergence. I would argue that this week we got a real good look at two different farm bills. I don't think either one of them has a chance to get over the finish line. And at this point, I'm hearing more and more people saying, just forget it. Let's just revert to 2018. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Extend 2018. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Two very different frameworks were presented by the Senate and the House. We had a great discussion about it this morning on the Free for All. If you missed it, you got to go back and talk about that or listen to that. So, okay, let's get to the markets. What do you got, man?
Sure thing. Russian consultancy ICAR cut its wheat crop estimate 2 million metric tons and to an expected 91 million metric tons. Wheat exports from Russia, according to ICAR, are expected to total 50.5 million metric tons. That's down from its previous estimate of 52 million metric tons. These are relatively modest adjustments to the Russian estimates, Chip. But the news chased sellers out of the wheat market for most of the session. July hard red winter wheat futures rallied to within 2 cents of last week's high before values pulled back to settle near mid-range. Profit-taking after mid-morning was encouraged by a weather forecast calling for some relief to dry conditions in the western hard red winter wheat production areas. The Canadian prairies also expected to receive some rains over the next 10 days. July hard red winter wheat futures 13¾ cents higher, 650 and one quarter. July SRW wheat up 18 and one quarter to 622.5. July spring wheat closed at 714 and one quarter, up 5¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, the market showed us just how sensitive it is going to be to news coming out of the Russian crop in the weeks and months ahead. July SRW wheat futures on the week up a quarter of a penny. That was it. Huh. July HRW wheat down 4 cents. July spring wheat up 11 cents. So a divergence in the markets.
Huh. Well, July corn futures opened slightly lower, then rallied on spillover support from gains in wheat and soy complex futures. Corn tested resistance at the late January high before selling re-entered the market to force a low-range close. Some support was tied to the weather forecast for Brazil's Safrinha corn crop areas. Conditions are mostly good now, but stress is developing and is expected to worsen over the next 10 days. Planting delays in the U.S. Midwest are expected to continue into next week, with more rain expected this weekend. July corn futures up a half a penny to 460 and a quarter. September corn up 2¼ to 469 and one quarter. December corn futures closed at 482 and three quarters, up 3¼ cents, Chip.
I think we can call this a good week, considering it was the last week of April, first couple of days of May, and the market moved to the upside this week. July corn up 10¼, December corn up 9¼ cents.
Soybean meal was the leader in the soy complex again today. July meal opened on session lows and closed near session highs and at the highest level since January 4. Resistance in July meal is expected around the 380 level. Soybean oil futures continued to attract buying interest with imports of used cooking oil, mostly palm oil there, into the United States renewable diesel market. July bean futures opened slightly lower and rallied to close near session highs and at the highest level since March 25. Heavy rains on unharvested beans in Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, added support to bean prices, as did USDA's announcement of an old crop bean sale of 122,000 metric tons to unknown destinations. July beans 16 cents higher today, 12.15. August beans up 16 cents, 12.15 and a half. November beans closed at 12.01, up 13 and one quarter cents.
Yeah, highest close, did you say, since what? It was March 25th, so that's
25th
before.
Yep.
That's before that prospective planting report that we got on the 28th of March. So here we are, back to the pre-prospective planting report level. July soybeans this week up 37¾ cents. November soybeans up 26¼. Get this, July bean oil down 246
Whoa.
Points, while
wow.
July soybean meal rallied $27.50. That was an 8% gain in July meal this week, dude.
Wow. Huh. Something feels upside down about that. July cotton futures finally caught a bid this week, Chip, and finished with an upside reversal. July cotton today, 244 points higher, 78.06. Help me here on the week.
Yeah, on the week, still down 284 points. Bad week.
Yeah. Live cattle futures tried to rally in response to news that H5N1 virus has not been found in the U.S. beef supply. But June futures again closed below the opening range as upside momentum drained out of cash cattle trade. June fat cattle 12½ cents lower, 176.67½. August feeder futures 47½ lower, 254.75. And June lean hog futures opened on session highs and closed near session lows. June hogs today 97½ cents lower at 98.95, Chip.
All right, June live cattle on the week down $1.90. August feeder cattle futures down $5.80. And June lean hog futures down $3.52.5. Okay, Kirk Kimmel, agmarket.net. He's our guest analyst, and he's up next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
I'll bet that has been used to describe you in the past, hasn't it, Davis? May have even showed up on a fifth, sixth grade report card or something like that. You know, the term loose cannon.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Back then, I had not yet figured out how to fully apply myself. So it wasn't until a little bit later that the loose cannon moniker really started to take hold in my life. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. I just wasn't applying myself before is the thing.
But
there's
now,
a lesson in that. Yeah.
But now, I mean, it fits. It fits. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis, loose cannon Michelson. And let's welcome in Kurt Kimmel from agmarket.net. Kurt, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing good, Chip. It's been a month or two since I last got to visit with you. We're doing good here in Central Illinois at the moment.
Good, good. Tell me about conditions over your way. What do things look like?
Actually, we're sitting pretty good here locally. I'm in Bloomington, Illinois. That's halfway between Champaign and Peoria, Illinois, and bigger map between Chicago and St. Louis. We've had several all spring storms go through. They went to the north of us and to the south of us. So we really didn't have really good soakers here until just recently. Last weekend, we dumped out over 3 inches, but guys were trying to go here yesterday, but we got another 3/10 last night, and so we're sitting just a little bit. Seems you go on east of us, on north of us, they got 6 inches on east of us, very little done. So it's kind of highly variable. But back to our local situation, we're probably 80% complete with beans.
Wow.
Good 40% with corn. Guys went after the beans. We've got some beans that went in late February, early March this year. And my gosh, those rascals survived those frost events we had. And guys were pretty well sold. Man, unbelievable. Back in the day, that wouldn't have flown. But also, we've got people really confident about putting beans in first. In fact, even their conservative people ran two planters, a bean planter and a corn planter, did not want to miss out on this. So we're fortunate through here and made some pretty good headway this spring.
Kurt, tell me, what are those beans, those first planted beans, what do they look like now? Are they up? Can you roll them? What do they look like?
Yeah, they were peeking through the ground. I've not seen them here in the last week myself. I'll have to repost on Twitter. I've been reposting. They've been sharing their experience over the last couple years. Now you did put some beans in early, about 3 or 4 years ago. Most didn't pan out. But this time of go around, they're off to the races. So all you guys ought to be in good shape, because if there's any truth that all these bean bugs go to where the beans are first, they're all coming from McLean County, Illinois here. So you ought to be good on the bean bugs.
I love it. Love it, love it. Hey, before we talk about what's happening in the markets, let's talk just about that point that I brought up about how the cattle market traded yesterday and today. You don't need to know anything about the fundamentals of the markets, of that cattle market, to look at the closes below the opening ranges in the last two sessions in live cattle futures to make you think, market's trying to tell us something, isn't it, Kurt?
Yeah, we got to go back to the market itself, and you know, I'm from the early 80s, and I know you remember that quite well too, Chip.
Oh, yeah.
But today, man, we got these computers. It's all, not all, but highly AI generated, and all you hear about is moving averages, and whenever a computer or a program gets going, it's all in. And when you get in some smaller markets, it can be adverse. But raw fundamentals, basically, you look at the cattle numbers and demand, you know, you got to be optimistic. But we're still working through this bird flu. And what I think happened here was earlier in the week, we saw the announcement they're going to be testing ground beef. Yeah. And all of a sudden, as we know, public needs to be educated. The public will shoot and ask questions later. And I think that spooked the market there as we went into midweek and down we went. Then actual comments that there's been all clear, we're good, brought the market back. So we're just getting whipsawed back and forth on this. And as a cattle producer, what the ag market team has highly been recommended is to come in with some put options, some price floors, some crash insurance, just in case that news item comes out and those computers take charge and all of a sudden these people get the wrong idea. Perfect example of psychology, as you've been watching the news, these riots.
Yep.
They'd interviewed a riot person rioting or complaining or protesting or however you want to describe it. They ask, okay, why are you here today and what are you protesting about? That person turned to the person beside him, why are we here today? So
I think
today's society, today's news is just kind of a ticking time bomb here. And you got to be really cautious going through some probably high volatility that you mentioned about the top of the show, Chip.
Yep. You want to treat that cattle market and the cattle position like nitroglycerin right now. You know, you want to be really gentle with this stuff because I think you guys are exactly right. The sensitivity that the market has shown to the headlines around H5N1 and the dairy herd it's been something that I think everybody can learn from. And how market psychology is and how those markets will trade, especially a thinner traded market like live cattle, Kurt. When you don't have the shock absorbers of volume in that market that corn does, for example, or most of the time even wheat, some crazy things can really happen, right?
Yeah, and too, just, you know, one other thing attached to that, and we've all heard about it, and we're from the farm, but there's been some farm cats pass away from drinking raw milk, and I'm surprised that's not really exploded, and maybe we need to delete that part so the wrong people don't hear that.
Yeah, well, hey, the official story, the official reports that we are getting versus some of the reports that are coming from on the ground are it's not that they're completely different. It's just that the reports from on the ground are a little more detailed and suggest that there's still a lot of work to do to get in front of the spread of this virus. And they better get their act together and get in front of it do their best to control it. So, yeah, no, it's all good. We're not going to delete anything, buddy. We need to we need to know the truth of what's going on out there, and that's part of it. That is part of it. So, since we talked about the cattle there, let's go ahead and hit the hogs. Dude, it just feels like the rug got pulled out from underneath a market that is – got to be getting used to getting the rug pulled out from underneath it, Kurt.
Oh, man. Yeah. Raising hogs, if you're not in contract, having to do your own marketing, it's been a it's toughened guys up here over the years. And when when you're looking at down prices and all of a sudden you're seeing inputs go up, it's been quite a challenge. The main thing is try to keep those inputs in control in case we get into a situation, the grain market, meal market takes off on you. You need to make sure you got some coverage there. But I'm from the old school, cookout season picking up here. I believe that demand's going to hang in there. The pork cutouts, loins at the wholesale level, it's been below a buck forever, 97. Hams, 80 cents. Bellies, that's bacon for those, $1.20. So we're at clearance levels here. I think we're fairly priced in through here. Then when you look at the new population coming in needs to be fed, I think pork burgers would be a line from them as they cross the border there, Chip.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, we got to take a break here, Kurt. We are in the middle of a conversation with Kurt Kimmel from agmarket.net. When we come back, we got a week from today, we're going to get USDA's first official look at the 2024-25 marketing year for corn, for soybeans, for wheat, the new crop marketing year. We'll start to get into some of the expectations and what might be driving the market next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 13 and 3/4 cents higher at 650 and 1/4. July SRW wheat up 18 and 1/4 cents to 622 and 1/2. July corn futures were up a whole half penny to 460 and 1/4. December corn futures closed at 482 and 3/4. That's up 3 and 1/4 cents today. July soybean futures 16 cents higher at 1215. November beans closed at 1201. That's up 13 and 1/4 cents. July cotton, 244 points higher on the day at 78.06. On your livestocks, June fat cattle, 12.5 cents lower, 176.67 and 1/2. August feeder futures, 47 and 1/2 cents lower at 254.75. June lean hog futures today, 97 and 1/2 cents lower at 98.95. Go to tryprofarmer.com for more. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
That doesn't feel very Friday afternoonish to me.
Hey, I'm going to go get the papers. Get the papers.
You don't like the music?
I like the music. It just doesn't feel very Friday afternoonish.
He likes it. He doesn't love it. That's what... I think that's what he's trying to tell us.
That might
be
right.
He doesn't love it.
That might be right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, normally Big Apple Joe, what you put on for music is usually right there. Right there.
This is never my decision. This is all AgriComputer.
It's all the robots driving that. You know what I can do? Because I've gotten into the habit of this, taping my upcoming podcast, which will release soon. Very soon.
Oh, yes.
Very exciting. I do it with a piano in front of me.
Okay.
So if we ever come up against this again, maybe I could just sort of improvise you something on the spot really quick, and you'd be happier that way. And
then
we could get on with the show.
I might be.
Yeah.
Oh.
It might work.
We're going to have to look into that possibility. Yes, yes. And we're going to talk more about that podcast coming up at the end of the show. I want to learn more about it. All right?
All right.
All right. Let's get back to the conversation now with Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net. Okay, Kurt, we're going to get the first official look at the balance sheets for 2024-25 next week. Part of that is going to be the planted acreage estimates that we got in the prospective plantings report. 90 million acres for corn, 86.5 million acres for soybean plantings. Just because USDA is going to plug them into the balance sheet doesn't mean they're right. What do you make of the 90 million and 86 million at this 86.5 million at this point?
Those, you're correct. What they put there is subject to change. When you look at the bean number, particularly, it's scary. When you 86.5 times, you know, trend line yield, all of a sudden you're up in the carry out in the 450 million bushel area, and guys just are not optimistic. Bean exports and the crushes can offset that somewhat, but that's the fears next Friday's report. And with this bean rally we're seeing here going home, and hopefully it'll carry through next week, it's the perfect opportunity to improve your bottom line. And for example, I'm not a crop insurance agent, but the spring price, $11.55, if we're $12.05, you need to incorporate or look at some pricing strategies to raise your floor by 50 cents. So we're kind of concerned about that. There's not enough crop development or demand on this new crop yet to really switch things around. So I believe there's some risk there if the computers read it that way. Corn wise, I think there's a few more acres in that, but when you look at some of these projections, and we'll have a lot of them out here first part of this coming week on what the analysts are looking at, you know, corn, we need to get carry out below a billion or 2 billion bushels to be, you know, friendly, but that corn number comes in, you know, 2.4, so it's you know, it's not as burdensome as the beans, but you're dead on what they put out. That's what the market's going to trade for a while until the crop conditions starts changing and get the crops up. Then as we move forward, that's going to create a lot of volatility in the grain complex as we go through the growing season.
Yep. Kurt, I've got kind of a troubling feel that at 11 o'clock Central next Friday on the 10th, when these reports are released, for some, well, and even leading up to it, Kurt, it's going to be a reminder that we are looking at building carryovers on 2024-25 beans, building carryover on 24-25 corn. It could be kind of a rough week for the markets as the participants kind of, you know, reevaluate and redigest this stuff, huh?
Yeah, there's downside risk as a producer, and we're in a weather situation, a short covering or a blip up and through here. So, you know, as a producer, there are several things you can go do going into that report. You know, these November $11 put options around 20 cents, these D's, you know, 410, 420 corn puts are excellent strategies to put on and going into the report. You know, growing conditions cooperate more, you know, we've got risk. But the other flip side of the coin is this rally here is not all just necessarily short covering. We've seen open interest go up. And what I'm getting at is Goldman Sachs came out and talked about their commodity fund index maybe or have the possibility of returning 21% over the next 12 months. Okay. Well, crude oil and energies don't giddy up anymore from here. Hopefully they'll come into the grain complex and move some money into that. And that could be a savior here as we go through early spring. But that's the futures, that's the options. You know, if that would happen, basis is going to widen out on us. So if that would happen, it's going to create some excellent hedge opportunities as we go into the first part of the growing season.
Yeah. That's it. Kurt, I haven't had anybody talking about that, the possibility that of bringing some of the index fund money back into the grain markets. That's intriguing. Now, from a timing standpoint and from a price standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Well, I think everybody was awful bearish or concerned, including myself here prior to Wednesday, that there was no hope at all. Now, I think we've got a shot in here where we've probably been a little too negative. And if I was a protester, I'd be carrying a sign that says corn and beans are too cheap. So we'll spring it on.
They'd look, if you'd walk into the protest with a sign like that, they'd look at you wondering, what in the heck are you talking about? Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, so talk to me about the strategies that, and you mentioned the put options. Is that something that you want to have in place before we get to next Friday?
The sooner, the better.
Okay,
because if volatility is moving up rapidly here, and they're going to be a little pricey, and they become a little bit more pricey ahead of the report. Because what happens is, we all know, everybody buys puts and calls ahead of the report, not knowing what the report's going to say. Once the report comes out, the unknown is, we know what it is, then the put and call values both lose some volatility unless it's a huge move. Just the fact that traders don't need that protection. Yeah. So you got to kind of manage that a little bit. But from a producer's point of view, I don't know if I'd be upfront in the short data, because, yes, they're cheaper. But, man, you got to be quick as lightning to get out of those. And whereas if you go back, you got some more time, you can ride the report here for a day or two. Right. But once the report's out, you know, once it's absorbed and we start getting the weather, you've got a price floor, then you still have the opportunity to sell your cash grain higher.
Yeah. Okay. So, and speaking of selling not only new crop cash grain, but there's some old crop to still get cleaned up. There's still time for some adjustments on the old crop balance sheets. Lots of time for adjustments there. Could we see a higher corn export number? The export inspection data has been running pretty good.
No, that's bullish. They're not going to help us out on that. Yes, you're right. The exports have been running much stronger. The export news is good. The ethanol demand's good. I don't know if they're going to change that a whole lot at this time. We still have a lot of marketing season in front of us, and that's been the savior here. Corn exports strong, bean exports kind of slow. So, you know, we'll see what they come up with in here on that. That's going to be a report that, especially the new crop report, is going to be the one that's going to set the trend for the first part of the marketing year.
All right. Got about a minute and a half left here, Kurt. Take me through two or three of the things that you think are going to have the most influence on corn and soybean prices over the next 6 weeks.
Well, it's going to be weather. And it's just not only weather here in the U.S. You know, we're talking Southern Hemisphere weather. And as you mentioned there, Russian weather. Mm-hmm. The weather guys definitely are top and centering through here. You got to have a weather guy that been following for a while, that's not going to flip-flop back and forth, it's consistent. And I think that's the key right there. The second part would be probably how fast these crushing plants come online.
Okay.
I know we're fighting these feedstocks part of it, but part of the recovery here, too, in the bean complex here late week was the idea that we're having, you know, another one come on fairly quickly here. So that's going to be critical. Get those up and going here by the end of 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an exciting piece of news for the soy complex. There's no question about it. It's just that some people are getting tired of waiting for it to come along, and the sooner it gets here, the better. There's no question. Kurt, we'll talk again this summer, all right? Thank you, my friend.
All right, on Friday, song you need to use, George Jones, Finally Friday.
Finally Friday, a little possum coming your way. That'd be really good, really good. Thank you, Kurt. Kurt Kimmel, agmarket.net. Davis and I will be right back.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
I guess I'll do my own. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I don't know what's happening. It got crazy.
It did.
It's your pal Davis Michelson here. It's
a Friday. When Loverboy's on the radio, you don't know what's going to happen.
You stand down is what you do. You stand down and let it happen.
That's right. That's right.
Is absolutely what you do. I went ahead and, you know, I didn't know. If you maybe wanted to hear that one again. Maybe. I can make that happen.
I know you can. I know you can. I don't know if I was looking for that or not, dude.
I think
Loverboy was right there.
Well, let me try a different one. Can I try a different one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put a fancy intro on it and see if that lifts your spirits at all. Okay?
Okay.
How'd you like that?
Okay, I'm starting to smile.
Shameless plug for the Grow Getter Show. Farmers trying to make a little money grow. Hustle sideways and check out the Grow Getter Show. Starring me, AgriTalk and the Grow Getter Show. I'll open up the chute and let the nonsense flow. YouTube this Tuesday, it's the Grow Getter Show.
Yes!
Huh?
Love it! Now I got a big smile on my face. That
now
is awesome, dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Grow-getters.
Grow-getters. Growers who are going out and getting a little extra.
With a hustle.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I know what you mean. Explain more.
It's a lot of fun. For example, I've spoken to a gentleman who you can send your corn to him. Mm-hmm. And he'll turn it into a small batch whiskey for you.
Ooh.
A little side hustle there.
I like
there's
it.
There's a grower who's, you know, out there getting after it. And there's, you know, there's fun, there's levity. We make it super fun and entertaining, or at least try to, you know, our version
Wait
of what
a minute.
We think
this
that
is a
is.
Real thing?
This is a real thing. It's dropping Tuesday. Tuesday. This is a thing.
Okay. So mm-hmm. grow-getters... And is it a video podcast? Is
video,
that what we're
baby.
Talking about?
Yep, you can behold the handsome newsman himself at work.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Blaze the news dog occasionally makes an appearance. He's
okay.
around. You might see him on the couch in the background.
And you're doing it right there from your beet lab?
Right here in the beet laboratory where I am now. You betcha.
Wow.
It's been fascinating to hear what these people have to say and what motivates them to do the things that they do. And interestingly, there are a few threads. One is, of course, succession. They want to squeeze every little bit they can out of their operation while they can, specifically to leave it for generations to come. I love that. And they're also working really hard to bridge that gap between where their food comes from and the kitchen table in an urban setting. That rural urban divide has been a topic of conversation when I'm talking to these good folks, and it's been very interesting, very enlightening, and I can't wait to see where it takes us from here. We got a couple in the can.
And I was going to say, and this is going to be more than a one-time deal.
This is going to be ongoing. Yes. I don't know when it's going to stop. I don't know. I just don't know.
That's outstanding, man.
Yeah.
Well, congrats.
I think people will enjoy it. Thank you very much. People will enjoy it. I hope so anyway. I'm looking forward to...
I can't wait.
Yeah, to seeing how it goes over, dude. I've never tried anything like this. I don't know if anybody has. It's very exciting. Let me send out a shout-out to my production squad, trailblazing right there along with me. My Lewis and Clark, Zach Zingula on technical production, and, of course, Jack Heffron. He's on the logistics. He's a word guy. He does all sorts of intangibles for us. So I appreciate those two dudes. I'm not doing it alone. I'm very excited about it. Drops
good.
Tuesday next week. And you got a little something going too, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Don't you? Well, or no?
But we're going on a ranch tour next week.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Is that what you're talking about?
Sure. We'll go there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Big Apple Joe and I. We will be down in Texas on a sustainable ranch tour. I'm going to find out exactly what makes it a sustainable ranch, because a lot of ranches are sustainable, but we'll see what makes this one unique.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's very valuable because, you know, and I'm this way too. I'm just going to talk about myself here. I hear that word sustainable.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just kind of, you know, but it's a real legit pursuit, done properly and correctly can benefit us all. So I'm anxious to hear what you find.
But I'm telling you, the word sustainable caused all kinds of angst for me and corn growers this week because of the final rule on the GREET model.
Ooh, yeah.
Dude, we waited and we waited and we you know what? It was supposed to be released on March 1, and we waited for that patiently. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't released on March 1. It was released closer to May 1. What was it on... April 30th when it came out, I believe it was.
Yep.
So here we are. We've been waiting for it and waiting for it. Expected all of the answers that growers who want to be part of the sustainable aviation fuel supply, growers that want to be part of it, were looking for answers, and I think they feel a little disappointed here at the end of the week by the lack of clarity on exactly what it means. Yeah. And here's the deal. The Treasury Department is the one that needs to put out the next adjustments for what 45Z are going to be, because 45Z kicks in on January 1. They're going to think that the end of the year is the deadline, when in reality, they got to have it out by the time the combines are rolling.
Ooh.
If they're going to keep that cover crop requirement in there. So they better get hustling. Yikes. Better get hustling. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, May 9th through the 13th. Below normal temperatures moving into the western Corn Belt. Near normal temperatures in the eastern Corn Belt. Below normal precipitation making its way throughout most of the Corn Belt. Thank you so much for listening this week. We got Machine Repeat on Monday and Grow Getters dropping on YouTube on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody.